is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Professor Catherine Conybeare, Bryn Mawr College, the author of the new book, Augustine the African. Augustine has had his adventure in life, early life. He's very ambitious. He's very gifted. He's been to Rome. He's been to Milan. He's now back in North Africa, his home. And because he's so skilled and everybody knows about him as a man of great rhetorical skills, he's invited to be the co-bishop of Hippo, a Roman town on the North African coast, what is now Algeria. However, Carthage is the big town in the area. Carthage rebuilt from the destruction by the Roman Empire hundreds of years before. This is not about Carthage. This is about an event that takes place in Rome, the sacking of Rome, it's called. It happens in August of 410 AD. Christianity is the religion of the empire at this point. The Roman gods have been set aside. They no longer take care of the temples. However, Rome is still the sentimental favorite of everybody, even though the emperor now lives in Ravenna, and the North African church is not dependent upon what happens in Rome, but it's inspirational and frightening to the Roman patrons of the temples and to the upper class. Augustine is neither of those, but the sacking of Rome means everything to Roman upper-class people who are arriving in North Africa as a refuge after the sacking of their city by Alaric the Goth, who was a Christian when he sacked the city. All of that is background for the next question I'm about to ask Catherine. What did Augustine make of the sacking of Rome? We know later on he's going to write a book about it, but at the time, did he tell his congregation something calming? Did he tell them it's none of our business? Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening. At the time, Augustine had two responses to the sack. One was he still had a certain sentimental attachment to the notion of Rome, as did many people within the Roman Empire. But there was a very practical aspect too. As you mentioned, aristocratic Roman refugees left the area of Rome in terror and came to their estates in North Africa. And they came to worship in the North African churches and were a new and entitled body of people to whom Augustine was obliged to preach. He did say words of calm to his congregation. He attempted to encourage them to welcome the incomers, but it was clear that it was a big disruption.
He's been preaching for more than two decades now, and fired up for the schismatic challenge of the Donatists in North Africa. The Church of North Africa, the Donatists. The Church in North Africa is Augustine. And often, Catherine reports, there are two churches in town. One will be the Donatist Church. The other one will be the Church in North Africa, the Roman Church, the Church of Ambrose, the church we know, the church that Augustine was baptized into in Milan many years before. And following the sack of Rome, maybe it's a coincidence, the Council of Carthage is called. What is it, and what's it supposed to settle, Catherine?
Yes. Augustine and his fellow bishops had been petitioning the emperor for some years to intervene in the fight against the Donatists. And the emperor Honorius finally issued a decree that called a council of bishops in North Africa at Carthage for May 411. And in the same breath, in the same decree, outlawed the Donatist Church. So there was this extraordinary moment of theater in Carthage when all the bishops from both sides across North Africa assembled in the largest space they could find, vast Roman set of baths, and debated with each other but the outcome was already determined.
The outcome includes the blessing of the empire. Marcellinus, is that how you say the name of the man, the Roman who chairs the meeting between the bishops? This is early days. We need to be clear about this. They're building institutions that we assume. One is the bishopric. Another one is relation to the state. How did Augustus see it at the time? In 411, he arrives in Carthage. What's the state to him?
Yes, the Roman state is a significant but distant structure. And in the course of the Council of Carthage, of which we have this remarkable set of transcripts, we can see that he became friends with Marcellinus, who had been sent from the Italian peninsula to preside over the council and to implement the emperor's final judgment. So all of a sudden, the state became something much closer and more personal for Augustine, rather than simply the institutional architecture with which he'd grown up.
The Donatists are not heretics, correct? They're another version. Actually, I've often thought of Dr. Seuss' story. Can't you see he's got green dots and I've got white ones? It was that kind of thing between them. But it was it was ferociously important, and underneath it, I believe there was a philosophical issue for Augustine. That is, the Donatists believe that you had to be pure of thought, and you couldn't be ordained, or you couldn't be baptized by somebody who was not. And Augustine was a driving for a universal church. How did he express it?
Yes, he used the term Catholic. It's identical in his Latin texts. And he repeated again and again that the Donatists could not be part of the Catholic Church. The churches across the sea, he also called it, the universal church, unless they laid aside their own individual beliefs, their schismatic beliefs, which were above all about a lineage of ordination and baptism. They allowed rebaptism. Augustine's church did not. That was very important to him.
But this is a cooked meeting. In other words, the Donatists are going to be condemned no matter what they do. And they know this. Do they embrace it? Are they like a martyr cult?
Yes and yes. They are a martyr cult. They're very invested in their continuing tradition, as they see it, of martyrdom. But they resist profoundly what goes on at the Council of Carthage and the fact that they are well aware that they have been outlawed before the council even started, that the whole process is rigged. And they stage a magnificent theater of resistance. They are obliged by imperial law to show up to this council. And they decide that in that case, every single bishop from across North Africa, and with the other side, it becomes a total of about 700 bishops, that they will form a parade and march into Carthage at the beginning of the council so that everyone knows how many they are and how powerful, and that the power of the state is bearing down against them.
The death of an emperor, Theodosius, in 395, I believe, leads him to naming his two sons, one to the east, one to the west. That leads to civil war, as you would expect. Now, North Africa is part of that civil war, and there's Roman violence all around. And what does an intellectual with brilliant rhetoric and an attack dog skill do when he's faced with war? He writes a book. I'm John Batchelor.